Yes, sir.
Did you see anything?
No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls again.
Good!
Toyland, Toyland, little girl and boy land, while you dwell within it, you are ever happy.
Time to put your toys away, little man.
I can't. You see, I need the money to buy more toys. I love toys. They can play songs. They can dance. They can even eat money. Oh boy, can they eat money. All my money.
Childhood's joy. Its borders, you can return again.
Just get those wonderful toys.
Hello and welcome to Fire and Water Presents in the first installment of Where Does He Get Those Wonderful Toys? Or Those Wonderful Toys for short. I'm your host, Chris Franklin. You might remember me from such fire and water podcasts as Supermates, which I produce and co-host with my wife, Cindy, Batman Nightcast, which I co-host with my chum, Ryan Daly, and Power Records, which I co-host with my pal, Rob Kelly. That's a lot of co-hosting there. In fact, this is my very first podcasting solo project. I've been wanting to work with myself for some time now, and now seemed like a good time, so why not? But seriously, if you've listened to the toy-centric episodes of Supermates, you know I have a sickness. And I collect toys and related ephemera, mostly related to my favorite comic book characters, TV shows, and films. I was more or less born with a comic in one hand and a Mego figure in the other. I don't recall a time when I didn't have either. By the time I had outgrown playing with toys in the late 80s, I decided to start collecting them shortly thereafter. Very little gap there. My whole house is filled with this stuff, since Cindy collects as well. But there is one room in our house we call, quote-unquote, the collectibles room. It's wall-to-wall toys, save for my drawing desk. A while back, we had to have some renovations done on our house, and the room was severely compromised. I've very slowly been getting that back in order. And honestly, the slow pace was due to podcasting. But I've managed to resuscitate it a bit as of late, so I thought it would be fun to start a series of shows around my collection. The idea is to focus on one or a few pieces at a time, talk about the character a bit, and go into their history if they aren't a big name like Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, etc. You all know their history, and every version that comes out with them reminds us of their history every time. So, I wanted to start this series on Fire and Water Presents because I'm not sure of the frequency of the series, so better to put it out as an occasional special then launch a whole new show with its own feed, etc. I already have plans to have a series within this series, related episodes focusing on an entire toy line, one piece at a time. More on that later. Since toys and collectibles are obviously something you need to look at to appreciate, you can find pics of the subject and other related images over on the episode's gallery page at fireandwaterpodcast.com. Oh, and I hope to keep these episodes relatively short, but without Cindy to rein me in, who knows? So now the big question was, what toy do I start out with? Everyone knows I'm a huge Batman fan, and Batman-related items probably make up 75% of my collection, followed by Superman, DC in general, Captain America and Spider-Man, then other Marvel and everything else. I could go with Batman, but that seemed too obvious. I mean, I am on Nightcast, you know. Folks who listen to the network know I have a certain affinity for a Cajun zombie who was born on a Monday, but that seemed a bit too on the nose as well. But there is another horror-related Golden Age villainous creation that I met on the Super Friends just like Solomon Grundy.
Next, the Super Friends tackle the supernatural when the ghost of villain from the past threatens the world with an eerie fate.
I'm talking about the Haunted Highwayman himself, Jim Craddock, a.k.a. the Gentleman Ghost, and in particular, the DC Universe Classics figure of the Ghost, manufactured by Mattel a few years back. DC Universe Classics, or DCUC for short, was the third evolution of a 6-inch-based DC comic series that began as a Batman line in the early 2000s, when Mattel first acquired the Master Toy license from Hasbro. The line eventually morphed into a DC Superheroes line that also included Superman-related characters, before finally opening the floodgates to the entirety of DC Comics with the DCUC line. This line continues today as the DC Multiverse line, although the sculpting quality is now hit or miss. The figures in the DCUC line proper were sculpted by the fan-favorite Four Horsemen Studios and featured great attention to true comic detail, as well as plenty of articulation and a few character-driven accessories. No giant street luge missile launchers like Kenner / Hasbro's previous offerings. The look and feel of the line was a direct response to Toy Biz's highly successful Marvel Legends and related lines, which were in turn a response to McFarlane Toys' Spawn figures, which set the standard for action figures at 6 inches. Also like Marvel Legends, each DCUC figure came with a Build-A-Figure piece, or more precisely for this line, Collect and Connect. If you bought an entire wave, you could build another, usually larger, figure. And the Marvel Legends figures that Hasbro makes today still have this feature. Gentleman Ghost was one of the figures in the 8th wave of the series, released around June of 2009. This wave is known as the Giganta Wave because you can build Wonder Woman and Apache Chief's large female foe if you can find all the figures. Besides Gentleman Jim, this wave had Dr. Fate, both Kent Nelson and Hector Hall versions, Commander Steel, Mr. Terrific, the Michael Holt version, Vigilante, the Adrian Chase version — they never made the Greg Sanders version, which pisses me off — Parademon, both comic and superpowers versions, and a Silver Bronze Age Hawkgirl. Unfortunately, like several waves in this series, this one was hard to find in many locations, resulting in high aftermarket prices to this day. Fortunately, Mattel was pretty good about releasing some of these hard-to-find figures again, usually in multi-packs, which is how I got my Gentleman Ghost figure. The Ghost was released in a Walmart exclusive two-pack called Fates Intertwined with Hawkgirl, which makes perfect sense since Gentleman Ghost was primarily a foe of the Hawks. Speaking of which, now would be a good time to cover the history of the character, and then we can wrap things up with discussion on the figure itself.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
The Gentleman Ghost debuted in the Hawkman feature in Flash Comics number 88 from October 1947, making this his 70th anniversary year. He was created by writer Robert Kaniger and artist Joe Kubert, who would go on to work on many projects together over the next 4 decades, primarily DC's war titles like Sergeant Rock and Enemy Ace. He tangled with Hawkman and Hawkgirl in many issues during the last few years of the title's run, leaving the heroes guessing if he was a real spirit or a charlatan using technology to pull off his ghostly appearance. He bowed out of the Golden Age 1 issue before the title ended with Flash Comics number 103 in January 1949. This version would eventually be known as the Earth 2 version of the character in DC's original multiverse. It took nearly 2 decades for the Ghost to rematerialize in the Silver Age. Creator Robert Kaniger pitted the character against the new Earth 1 versions of Hawkman and Hawkgirl, basically unchanged in the Atom and Hawkman number 44, June 1969, drawn by the equally legendary Murphy Anderson. The Ghost claims to be the spirit of a 19th century highwayman, Gentleman Jim Craddock, returned to enact his revenge on those who put him to death. Although this seemed to indicate he was indeed a ghost, Hawkman and other heroes were still skeptical, often finding recording and projection devices in his wake. He tangled with the Hawks several times before crossing paths with Batman, beginning with Batman number 310, cover dated April 1979. He became a frequent foe of Batman during the early 80s before settling back in as a Hawkman foe toward the decade's end. His existence as a bona fide ghost was eventually proven in the post-crisis DC Universe. After all, in a world where the Spectre is roaming around, what's so unbelievable about an undead dandy in a top hat and a cape? It turns out Jim was hung by gunslinging heroes Nighthawk and Cinnamon, who were one of the many past lives of Hawkman and Hawkgirl. Craddock is doomed to roam the Earth until his killers leave it, but they can't really die for good thanks to their reincarnation curse. So, sucks to be Jim. I first encountered the ghost as Gentleman Jim on the all-new Super Friends Hour episode, originally aired December 10th, 1977. That episode was just called The Ghost.
Gentleman Jim, you have returned once more?
Yes, Scrooge, and thank you for finding a way to raise me again. Now to devote my entire energies to revenge against the two who tricked me back into my grave last time, Superman and Wonder Woman.
Surprisingly, Hanna-Barbera, the studio that brought you Scooby-Doo, decided to forego the fake ghost trick and have Jim be the real deal. The tale is surprisingly creepy for the Super Friends, with Jim enacting his revenge on Superman and Wonder Woman, but imprisoned his spirit before. He turns them and the entire UN Council into ghosts. Their appearance is all white with hollow eyes and drooping mouths, kind of like Ghostface from Scream 2 decades earlier. Unfortunately, Jim was forgotten when the Legion of Doom was holding a membership drive next season. I next bumped into Jim in his second appearance in the Batman title, with issue number 319, October 1979. The cover was by none other than his co-creator, Joe Kubert, and the interiors were by writer Len Wein and artist Irv Novik, who had done the previous Batman-Ghost matchup. Seeing what I thought was a made-for-TV villain in the comics was quite a pleasant surprise. I felt a connection to the character because I thought, hey, I was in the know about him. And I was like 4 years old. But beyond that, why do I like this character so much? Is it his striking appearance? All white tux with tails and a cape, floating monocle and top hat with no head? Is it the same thing that drew me to always love Disney's Haunted Mansion for decades before I finally set foot in the Disney World version back in 2012? There may be something there. Let's face it, Jim looks like he could hang with the hitchhiking ghost or even the mysterious hatbox ghost. They even have the same disappearing head trick. Or maybe it's my love for Washington Irving's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow and the Headless Horseman. Be it the actual book, the Disney classic animated segment, the often forgotten Jeff Goldblum TV production, look it up on YouTube, or the Tim Burton movie, I've always loved that tale. Jim has been known to gallop about on a pale horse, after all. It's kind of surprising I took to the character like I did because, as I've often mentioned on Supermates and Power Records, I was a huge wiener when I was a kid. I was scared of everything. But despite that, I did have a morbid fascination with monsters and ghosts, even if I had to hide my eyes every time they were on TV. Speaking of TV, the ghost appeared on Justice League Unlimited, mostly in the background, but he made a much bigger splash on Batman the Brave and the Bold, where he was a recurring villain.
Revenge is a poison that rots a man from within.
No, my friend. Revenge is a fire that keeps me warm in the eternal cold of the grave.
And even made it into the related video games. Mattel gave us a ghost figure in their JLU line, and a six-pack of villains from the Secret Society or the Legion of Doom, if you prefer. Jim was scheduled to get a figure in the standard Mattel Batman the Brave and the Bold 5-inch figure line, but although photos were shown early in the life's line, and you can find them on the interwebs, he was apparently never released. Jim did make it into the squatty Action League subline of figures that are around 2 inches tall. He even got a skeletal horse in a set with Batman. There was a completely translucent variant in a multi-pack as well. An even tinier version of the ghost came in a 3-pack set of McDonald's Happy Meal toys, along with the Spectre and a ghostly coach car. HeroClix released a tiny game figure as well. But we want to focus on Mattel's other ghost figure, the DCUC figure. First of all, let's get the obvious question out of the way. How do they translate a headless character with a top hat into 3D form? The answer is brilliantly. The Four Horsemen cleverly extended Jim's sculpted collar and set the hat on top of it. The clear plastic monocle is attached to the hat, and the stiff plastic cord runs from it to his jacket lapel. Most of the figure is cast in simple antique white. At least the cape and shoulder cloak parts and the lower legs are produced in translucent plastic, partially covered by white paint that matches the rest of the figure. This gives the figure a shimmering or phasing appearance. The only other paint application is black inside his shirt collar to complete the headless look. The figure is one of the best and most intricately sculpted in the line, which is saying something. The work on the tux is particularly well done, and Mattel would reuse it with a few modifications for one of the best Joker figures ever made in Series 10, based on the work of artist Marshall Rogers. Everybody knows I love me some Marshall Rogers. The cape, cloak, and collar are made of a softer, rubbery plastic and attached to the body with the hat attached up top. Mattel didn't skimp on the accessories, giving Jim the two that make sense, his walking stick and flintlock pistol, both cast in the same antique white. His right hand is sculpted to hold the gun, while his left hand handles the cane. Like most of the DCUC Classics figures, Jim has plenty of articulation with swivel biceps. He's got a swivel mid-thigh. Of course, he's got knee and elbow articulation. He's got articulated ankles. He's just about as articulated as you want to get, unless you're one of those people that really likes to pose their characters in truly crazy poses. So, you know, you're not going to get a McFarlane pose out of this guy, but why would you want that? In amongst the multicolored heroes and villains of the line, the stark white Ghost stands out. In my display, I can't help but give him a pretty prominent place, even though he's a minor foe compared to the Jokers, Luthors, and Darkseids of the DCU. But Jim just got a huge shot in the arm thanks to the Lego Batman movie. He even gets named on screen. Spoiler warning, but you probably already saw that. I'm hoping Lego will eventually get around to releasing a figure, because I have to own it. I'll probably have to get one for Danny, too, our daughter. It looks like the Gentleman Ghost has, in the Lego movie, has like a clear, translucent Lego head on top of it looked like a flesh-colored peg, which is kind of weird. I kind of hope they don't do that when they release the figure. But I noticed it the second time I watched the movie, because I knew I was going to do this. If you're a fan of the character or just the breadth and width of the DCU, I don't think you can go wrong with this figure. Even outside of the DCU, it's one striking-looking ghost figure. He could easily fit into a Halloween display or slip him in with your Universal Monsters, Scooby-Doo figures. He does look quite a bit like the Headless Spectre from the first version of the cartoon. Or even a Haunted Mansion collection. If you see him out in the wild, beware. He's so damn awesome, he just may follow you home. I hope to get back soon with another episode right here on Fire & Water Presents. I would love to hear your comments on the show, the character, and the figure over at the appropriate thread at fireandwaterpodcast.com. Or you can email me at supermatespodcast@gmail.com. And of course, the characters, audio clips, all that stuff, they're all copyright, the respective holders. We're not making any money off this. This is just for fun. And, you know, so don't sue me. Thanks for listening. Man, what can that be? I'm just about finished. Yeah, what? Oh.
Why you not do first show on Solomon Grundy?
Hey, Grundy. Well, I just don't want to be too...
Grundy better than Ghost Man. Grundy on whole season of Super Friends.
Yeah, I know that, Grundy. But you see, I thought...
You do episode on Grundy or him smash up Taco Bell Superman movie glasses. Solomon Grundy's stronger than Superman!
Please, Lord, don't do that. Okay, I promise. I'll do an episode on one of your figures. I promise.
Just don't do one on Brave and Bold Grundy with stupid staple mouth. Why people try to shut Grundy up? Grundy have lovely speaking voice.
Yeah, you do, Grundy. Look, let's just calm down and talk this over. Would you like some tea?
Grundy ain't thirsty. Grundy got ideas for Fine Water Present shows. Scum and Swamp Water. Give me that monolith of evil. Power Swamp Rats.
And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain. And I'll be back again and again. And again, and again, and again, and again.
You're going back where you belong, Gentleman Jim.
No, please.
I don't want to go. I must have my revenge. Oh.
No matter how many centuries I have to wait to face you, Batman, I will find you again. And I will have my revenge.